This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Sometimes there are trades in baseball that come out of absolute nowhere, like the Yankees acquiring Devin Williams late last week. And then there are the trades that you hear about for days, and then it's official, and you're like, thank God it's finally over. And that, to a degree, is the Yankees. They've just acquired Cody Bellinger from the Chicago Cubs. It's a done deal. Cody Petit goes back to Chicago, and Bellinger is here. He makes $27.5 million this year. They will get $2.5 million from Chicago to bring that salary down to $25 million. And then next year, Cody Bellinger has a player option of $25.5 million, or he could opt out. And if he opts out, then the Yankees would pay a $5 million buyout. The Cubs have included another $2.5 million to cover either that or the salary. So not a lot of money coming back to the Yankees.
No.
But that's a good thing because it means they didn't give up as good of a prospect.
Right.
And or they a added
prospect at all.
I mean, right. Cody Petit's a 30-year-old swing guy. So good move by Brian Cashman. Three moves now since the loss of Juan Soto. A top-of-the-rotation arm in Max Fried. The press conference will be tomorrow. You'll hear it right here on The Fan at noon. A awesome reliever and closer in Devin Williams, and now Cody Bellinger. More work to be done, but three pieces added since losing Soto.
What's that sigh for?
I just thought of something we're going to get robbed of.
What's that?
John Sterling going classic with a back-to-back and a belly-to-belly.
Ah, yes. That's okay. You Dave know? Sims will do something amazing.
I'm sure Dave Sims is going to be great.
Or better.
I mean, the home run calls to John? Better than John?
Dave's got some calls. Dave, I played it when he first
got
his
home run.
Have you heard it?
I think Dave Sims is great, but it's something nostalgic about Sterling home run calls.
He doesn't do Sterling home run calls, but and I played these clips, I guess, about a month ago when he was first hired.
His energy is unbelievable.
He's electric.
Yeah. Raptor, he's safe. You know, we'll get all that.
Exactly. All right, we'll get more into the Cody Bellinger move. We'll hear from you at 888-808-1019, but it is Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. The holiday week continues. The holiday theme continues. Forget worse movie characters. I'm going to give you flat out the five worst people that exist around the holidays.
Five worst people?
What? Let's go.
Here we go!
Number five.
The Die Hard is a Christmas movie, people. You guys know it isn't. It's now just to argue. You basically just Lugauer as a movie critic with that take. Wrong?
Okay. Number four.
I'm just disappointed you weren't quick enough to do the five best Codys of all time.
Fair.
There aren't a lot. Like, after you get past Cody Bellinger and Cody Rhodes, there's not. I mean, I can't name any.
Cody Petit might be on there.
Yeah, he may be up there. I can't think of any other Codys.
No love.
No. It's just a weird name. Let's be honest.
No. Cody, no love, Garbrandt.
Oh, that's a person?
Yes. Who is that?
So he's a wrestler or MMA fighter.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
We had him in studio. BT and I had him in studio years ago.
How about Cody Chestnut? What do you think of Cody Chestnut?
I don't know who that is.
Cody Chestnut is an American R&B and neo soul musician.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
That's right.
Huh. All right. This is interesting.
I'm sorry. All right. Continue your
list. Or
Loogie, that would have been the perfect time for crickets.
Yeah. All right. The five worst people on the holidays continue. Number four are flat out the elves.
The elves?
And I'm not talking about the elves that fly here and visit our kids and hope they're nightmares.
Oh, that's what I thought you meant, because
no, I got to tell you. No.
I like the elves. I know my kids love the elves. They keep me up at night.
How about the ones?
Elves.
The ones back at the North
Pole. The ones on the shelf?
No, not the ones. The ones that should be on the shelf for a little bit. They don't stand up for themselves. Nobody's cool with you working 15 hours a day for kids' happiness. Where's your union? hate them. Here we go.
They're like pro wrestlers without a union.
They're spineless. Okay.
Number three.
Number three worst person in the holidays is Mrs. Claus.
What?
I got a theory on Mrs. You know, he took a run at Santa.
This
he took it the wrong.
This garbage.
No, he took a run at the wrong person. Lou Gehrig did. You keep stuffing your husband's face with cookies so he doesn't get slim and leave you. And I'm sure she doesn't let him rest when he gets home working an overnight on Christmas Eve. Probably got her parents coming over. It's a whole disaster. Let the man sleep.
Why are you making that assumption, though?
Because I, you know what? I have a feel Mrs. Claus, she gets off the hook a lot. It feels like she might be a piece of garbage. Here we go.
Wow.
Number two.
Santa appreciate I have his back. All right, the number two worst person of the holidays, the reindeer. They're complete bullies to Rudolph. You're not cool because you fly.
All right, I had this conversation with Tracy the other day.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Tell me, this logically, it makes sense to me. So the song, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you know, had a very shiny nose, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Will you lead our sleigh tonight? Because it's foggy.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Red light does not penetrate fog.
I'm glad you said that.
So the only thing it would do would alert the house that you're coming.
Yeah.
But the house doesn't care that you're coming.
No.
So what's the point of a red nose leading a sleigh?
LED lights didn't exist when Rudolph took off. It was ahead of his time technology, and they haven't kept up the terms. All right,
Number one.
And the absolute worst person around the holidays is real tree people. You waste another day around this time of year going out to pick out a tree. The freaking needles are everywhere, and it's a damn fire hazard. You're not making anything cooler. Just put up the artificial tree, slam it up in the attic, and that's the end of it.
I'm a loser.
Don't be a garbage real tree person in 2024.
Yeah, and how many people have not realized, even to this date, you need to water the tree?
Of course.
And give it food. Like, yeah. When I had the real tree, I had to give it.
At Christmas time.
I know. You know, I would have been mad at you if this was 5 years ago, because I was always a big tree guy.
And
I'm a baby.
Up. Then you grew up.
It's not that I grew up. It's that my boss, also known as my wife, made a decision. She overruled me.
Mm-hmm.
She said, we're going artificial
right.
tree.
We're going to do something practical.
And I said, I think this is a terrible mistake. I think this is going to ruin Christmas. And I disagree with you. And she said, okay, you can disagree with me. We're doing it. So we get this artificial tree. And I'm in love. Best decision she ever made.
Yeah.
Because it takes 5 minutes to set up. The lights are already on it. The worst part about the tree is getting the freaking lights to wrap around
right.
it.
Yeah.
Correctly. The lights are already there.
Right. And do it correctly without it looking sloppy.
Like a mess.
Yes.
That's number two. You mentioned the mess that's created.
Oh.
Brutal. And then number four, you're right. We're killing a tree.
Yes.
Why are we killing a tree
every
year?
How many go-green people are huffing a Stu Leonard's and sticking one over their shoulder?
That's right.
Losers. Worst people. All right, the theme continues. Cody Bellinger, Yankee.
I'll give you one other thing.
Yeah.
When you take the tree to the front, so where I live is, you know, the sanitation people come, you know, twice a week, once a week. You put the tree out. I remember last year, like, I missed the day,
and
the tree
there
sat
forever.
There for a month,
wow.
And it really depressed me.
Right.
Because I'm looking at this dead tree.
There is nothing worse than seeing Christmas trees littering the sidewalk.
Wow. Oh, the worst.
Oh, so it's a specific day that sanitation comes and picks up the real tree?
I think it was a specific day, and I must have missed
see,
it.
See, that's
or,
another
yeah.
bullcrap thing. You're going to tell me when I have to take down my tree because you're only picking it up once a month?
I get you. All right, not a horrible list. Thank you, Sean. Cinco de 5-0 every day. We actually ran into somebody yesterday at Barclays Center who passionately was pitching Cinco de 5-0s to Sean Morash.
Sam.
Did you get any good ideas?
Sam's idea was to do the 5 best play-by-play announcers in New York, which I'm going to put in the holster.
Nice.
And Sam, I'm just going to tell you right now, your girlfriend's hot, so enjoy. I mean, what smoke she was.
All Sean could get over was.
He walked away and said, oh my goodness.
Sam's a nice guy, listens every minute, so he's listening right now, so I don't want him to take offense to this. But
take offense? You should be taking bows.
Why?
Because that is tonight!
I haven't finished the whole story. When Sam and his girlfriend left, Sean could not get over how, I guess, Sam was a nice guy. But not necessarily worthy of said girlfriend.
Outkick his coverage.
And beyond stunned that to quote Sean, a guy like him, wasn't that, could get hurt. So it became almost an insult after it was a compliment. But no, Sam, excellent work. He's a nice guy.
If she walked by and you said, hey, you know Giancarlo Stanton got with that? You'd be like, yeah, I see it. Sam is enjoying Sam.
OMG.
God bless.
All right, thank you, Sean. Let's get to the next two members of the 24 and 24, number 12 and 11. We are counting down the most memorable moments in New York sports over the last year. 2024 has been put together by a committee. I have no idea, though they did just hand me a piece of paper with some information on it, which I will read in a little bit. But first, let's hear number 12.
Number 12, Dante DiVincenzo caps off a furious and shocking rally as the Knicks beat the 76ers in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference quarterfinals.
Back to Brunson. Brunson double team, splits the defense. Lowry takes it away, picked up by DiVincenzo. 8 on the 24, DiVincenzo, corner to Brunson. Sidestep, three-pointer, shot, it's good! Took the bounce and went in! Two-point game. Ball knocked loose. And Maxey gets knocked down. Hart takes it away. Out top to DiVincenzo. His shot won't go. Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
I died inside that night.
Why?
Because it was so painful.
But so great.
No, it was an incredible moment. It really was. And the tenaciousness of the Knicks on the offensive glass, something you don't see from this team this year. Mm. And then Dante, who missed the three to begin with, but got the second opportunity. That was, tell me if I'm wrong here, the LJ four-point play moment of our generation.
That's fair.
Is that fair?
Very fair. You got a double bang out of it from Mike Breen.
Double bang!
When you get a double bang out of Breen, that's how, right. That tells you it's a big moment.
But it's also just a heightened call for that long. Like, it's heightened the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because it was...
That was the moment. Like he was calling it exactly as it felt.
Yeah, oh, no, it was incredible. From
bang! Bang! Hear me out. What number is this?
This is 12. Number 12.
Okay. LJ's four-point play, no way in that year is as, like, low as number 12.
I don't know if that's a fair way to compare it.
Gotta go back.
What year was that?
That was 1999.
So what else happened that
Yankees
year?
Yankees won a World Series. They had a lot of moments.
Yeah, so it wouldn't have been number one. Yeah,
I didn't say number one, but 12? LJ,
I mean, you got
playing?
All those Yankee moments, all those Met moments.
Vinny Testaverde tearing his Achilles would have been up there.
When we talk about LJ's four-point, you think we're going to talk about LJ's four-point play? I mean, this the DiVincenzo 25 years from now? The way we talk about LJ?
I don't know.
No, you know why? Because he left him this year.
Well,
that hurts.
He left this year.
So we're not going to talk about it. After this.
Yeah, he left this year, and also that Knick team got to the NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
This Knick team got knocked out in the second round.
Right, and you have all the excuses for why and et cetera. But
doesn't matter.
The reality is they didn't even get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah. Anyhow, number 12. Let's get to number 11.
Number 11. With the city of New York descending on Philadelphia, Josh Hart hits a game-winning three to send the 76ers home and move the Knicks to the second round.
Brunson double-team right away. Hart has it. Gives it right back to Brunson. Brunson drives. Kicks it up top to Hart. Hart puts up a three. Bang! Josh Hart from downtown! And the Knicks lead by three. Timeout, Philadelphia!
You guys have an issue with that being ahead of the DiVincenzo moment?
That was the one I said, though, that I remembered the most.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Because we were there.
We were there. It also was a clinching game. Uh-huh. It was game six. And it was in Philly. Yeah. It adds something when you're doing it there. Right.
It did, but if you... And I agree that Hart should be ahead of that, obviously, because of where it was. They move on. They knock out Philly. But Breen's call for Dante's three was more, you know,
yeah, but
boisterous.
I don't think it's about the call. I think it's more about how you felt in that moment. And just being there, we just saw it. Like, you just knew the Knicks were winning at that
point.
Well,
I also think it was less stunning in the moment. The Knicks had a furious comeback. Yeah. This was merely tie game. Josh Hart hits a three, which turned out to be the game winner.
Yeah.
But it's the series-clinching moment, and it's in Philadelphia. And I think when you combine those two things, it makes it an incredible moment. It also, I have to tell you, and I know you're not going to like this, but I got to be honest. It spawned, in my opinion... one of the great Evan Roberts original songs we ever debuted. So, ladies and gentlemen, just so we can get back in the moment, we present to you Josh Hart in Philly, the song.
In the city of brotherly love, the stage was set. Knicks came in strong, they were not to forget. Jalen Brunson, a marvel to see. With every move he made, Philly fans felt the glee. But then came the moment, the tension was high. Josh Hart took the shot, reached for the sky. 76ers fans couldn't believe their sight as the Knicks triumphed in the Philly night. The Knicks came to conquer. Their victory a must. Jalen Brunson's magic leaving fans in a fuss. Josh Hart's big shot sealing the fate. And you know it's Saquon Barkley still dead to us. Amidst the chairs that came up raw, Philly moves are trying to rise, standing tall. They targeted Tiki Barbara, stirring the fight. But the Knicks' good years, there came a brawl. Philly losers tried to rise, standing tall. They targeted Tiki Barber, stirring the fight. But the Knicks stood united in the Philly night.
What a song.
Even you in the song. Saquon was there, right?
I think Saquon was there that night, yeah.
He was there that night, yeah.
He was there that night, and of course, yeah. For those that aren't aware of the story, that's referred to in the song, a Philly douche, as the song mentioned, we call him, or Tiki calls him, FOMO Cheeks.
Yep.
Tried to get
a
Tiki Barber.
He had a Cheeks jersey on, and he was steroided out like you wouldn't believe.
And he was trying to fight Tiki.
And he actually tried to take a shot at Sean. And my boy, Andy Puzik, took the punch and called him a little, you know what.
That's incredible.
The weakest punch I've ever felt.
Now, I was just handed a sheet by the committee that says that's it for the Knick moments, that they had five moments in the top 24, and we've actually heard all of them. So congratulations to the New York Knicks.
What about the uncrowned champion parade?
Well, that never occurred, unfortunately,
that
Sean.
That didn't make the list?
That was on the uncrowned list.
But that's what they told me, that there were five Knick moments tied for second most among teams. So.
And you know what? That moment should be there. Now, I know everybody didn't get to go to Philly, but I went there. Mm-hmm. If I could bottle up the emotion I had leaving that building and sell it, I'd be a billionaire. That's what sports is all about. That moment of being in Philly and beating them with that kind of crowd and that rivalry.
Was that a Friday?
It was a Thursday.
Thursday night.
Thursday. You guys stayed, though, right?
Correct.
They stayed. We
hung
came
out
back.
And drank with the Philly people.
What did we do Friday?
Did a show from here.
Show from here.
Yeah.
And we did a show from New York after we did it in Philly on Thursday. You forgot that part?
No. Did you guys come back?
Yeah.
Yes.
I came back. Drank all night. Slept for 2 hours.
You guys went hard that night.
I went hard, came back, and then that night I went back and did Boomer and Geo Live at Jersey City.
Oh, wow.
Commitment. I have to admit this, and this is going to prove my independentness when I make this comment. Now that we have clearer heads, okay, we have a chance to kind of digest the year. I think the Knicks beating the Sixers was a more satisfying series victory than the Mets beating the Phillies. And I say that obviously with unbiases because I'm a Met fan. I can't stand the Knicks. But when you look at how the series both played out, the invasion angle, which I think is a big part of it,
right.
The way you guys, you Knicks fans, took over Philly, I would put that as a series and a satisfaction meter above the Mets.
And it also felt, even though for most of the season, you would have argued, could have, anybody who follows baseball would have said the Phillies are the better team. But in the Phillies-Mets series, it felt like the Mets were the better team. And so, now, obviously, the Knicks were clearly a better team than the Philadelphia 76ers, but it was just so much like, we own you, and we're going to show you we own you. First game of that series, it was more Knicks fans there, right? Or is that the...
That was the weekend game. So I think it was game four in Philadelphia.
Three or four, whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the closeout game.
Yeah.
It was just amazing what Knicks fans did.
I say this without thinking. I'm saying it quickly. I think it was the best series of any New York sports team in any playoff. That includes the Yankees. That includes the Rangers. Knicks, obviously. Mets.
From this season, you mean?
From this season, I think it was the best series. It was definitely the best series in the NBA.
How it made you feel.
Yeah, everything about it. Like, being there in Philly Game 6, the emotions. We played the Dante 3.
Well, you know what else? It's
Jalen's great game that he had in, was that Game 4?
A best of 7 or a best of 5 series is a story. And this was a 6-game story. Remember the Knicks collapsed in one of those games?
Yeah, sure.
I think it was game 2.
Yeah, Maxi became the Maxi game. Hero.
Right. So the
storylines with Embiid, there was so many storylines in that.
Joel Embiid everything. Being dirty as hell, the Knick invasion.
New York, Philly, invading, beating there in Philly. That's, in my opinion, like thinking quickly, the best New York sports series
because
of the
Yankees,
year.
Neither, none of them were good.
Right.
Cleveland with Big Christmas beating them?
Nah, it's a 5-game series.
And then how about the 2 overtime wins for the Rangers versus Carolina and the third
series
from Crowder?
You almost blew a 3-0 lead like losers.
Carolina.
And we didn't. and by the way, was further in the playoffs than the Knicks.
I know, but
series.
There's no history. Like, Carolina, nobody cares about. Right. Like, you
Ranger
gotta. Okay, no,
now they do.
Sean, you're just arguing to have your team win something. They're not winning anything. None of your teams are.
We're talking about a first-round series from a loser franchise when a team made the World Series and another team made a conference final in this town.
Sean,
you're discounting the proximity of the fan base.
Exactly.
Philly fans don't even like the Sixers.
Doesn't matter. It's Philly. Like, think about it. Like, that's a big... I agree with Tommy. I think of all the series victories in New York sports this year... I put Knicks Sixers. I put it above Mets Philly, Sean. I'm a Mets fan.
The games were all great. It was amazing. It really was. Right.
And look, one experience I have, I'm not sure how many people share this. I was in Philly for both of those series. I went to a road game in both of those series. Game two at the bank, and obviously game six with all of us.
Yeah.
It's different, man.
I also don't think the non-fan who just watches sports was excited about the Rangers beating the Panthers. I just don't.
That takes a hockey fan to care about that. Yeah. I don't disagree with that.
You're just arguing to argue.
I don't think a non-basketball fan gave a crap about the Knicks beating the Sixers.
You can do that with any sport. In general, if we're holding the sports equal, New York beating Philly the way they did with the drama of the series, it was the best series of the year.
I mean, not the Panthers, the Hurricanes.
The Hurricanes.
Yes.
They lost to the Panthers. Remember?
No, I'm thinking of the Carolina Panthers.
Look, you value playing Philly. I value winning crazy overtime games in a third period where you thought you were blowing it real.
Sean, take your L.
And I also value making a World Series and having Soto hit a home run.
Take your L. I'm being independent on this. I'm not even. I hate the Knicks, bro.
Okay.
I'm just being honest.
He's talking about how it made you feel.
Yeah, that's fine. More listeners would agree with me, but that's fine.
Right. More listeners would agree on what? Rangers?
And the Yankees, both being more. I'd coach into your poll. You could have fun.
You want me to put a poll out that says which series was more?
About the series, not the moments.
Yes, I agree. I think you're discounting what happened in those moments.
All right. Well, we'll get the rest of these moments coming up over the next few days. We're up to the top 10, which is kind of crazy. We're going to find out 10 through 1. We'll have two more moments tomorrow. And then starting Thursday, four moments each day until we find out the most memorable moment of 2024. Cody Bellinger is now a New York Yankee. It's a great move because of the versatility the Yankees now have. Bellinger could be the first baseman on opening day. He also could be the center fielder. And if I had to guess right now, he's going to be the opening day center fielder for the New York Yankees because there are more options to add at first base, whether it's Christian Walker, whether it's Paul Goldschmidt, whether it's Carlos Santana, whether it's Pete Alonso, whatever guy you want to come up with. I think you are now looking at an outfield next year of Jason Dominguez in left, Cody Bellinger in center, and Aaron Judge in right. And you know what I'll tell you? It's a pretty good defensive outfield. That's not a bad... So they're losing something with Verdugo and his defense. And we'll see about Dominguez every single day. But Bellinger in center, Judge back in right? I think the New York Yankees have improved their outfield defense. Now, they need to add a second baseman or third baseman and a first baseman. So two more bats they need to add. But we're starting to see the project come full together on what the Yankees in a post-Soto world look like. You're feeling good, right, Sean? You feel decent about where this is going.
I am feeling very decent. I like that they're not locked in long-term to Bellinger, and I think that's huge for this team and their flexibility. But I have to be fair. I'm still super skeptical about what they do next because this job is not done.
What do you want them to do next?
Personally, I'd rather Bellinger be the first baseman and Anthony Santander be on this team than either the first base option.
So then you would have everything I just said about the outfield I would take back?
Yes.
Because now you'd be going Santander in left, Dominguez in center,
correct.
Judge in right.
That would be my preference on a bat. I value Santander's bat more than I do Walker and Alonso and what I think they're going to get.
Interesting. I think how much each guy gets in the open market is going to play a big role here. Like, I think a reason Pete hasn't signed yet is him and Scott are asking for probably 6 or 7 years, which I don't think they're going to get. What about Bregman? Bregman's still out there. Bregman and Bellinger are going to have to fight each other first because they don't like each other. And then once they beat the crap out of each other, it'll all be fine. That's the way guys work in locker rooms, right, Tiki?
Yeah.
They got to beat each other up.
Yeah, sometimes.
I'm very hesitant on Bregman. You know what I'd like to do? How about get creative? Go trade for Jonathan India to play second.
Or just go get drunk together.
Or get drunk together.
Yeah.
Should I tell Sean that Jonathan India was already traded?
Was he? I missed that.
Yeah. Kansas City.
Hmm. Wow, when did that happen?
It was like the first move of the offseason.
Really?
Yeah, for Brady Singer, a pitcher.
Call the Royals up and see what they want.
Why not? Oh, boy. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Thank you to Mike Breen, who supplied all that great audio of those calls. He's the best, man. That was on MSG. And I purposely wanted to use Breen because I think he's the best. And I think that what Mike does so incredibly well is that he captures the New York Knick moment better than anybody else because he's the Knick announcer. Part of it is that. And he does a great job of being unbiased when he's doing the national broadcast. I think one of those, the DiVincenzo call, was from MSG.
Yeah.
And I think the other call was the national call. If I had to guess correctly, but either way, I did think it was important in these memorable moments to hear him. Because no offense to anyone else who makes the call, there is not a human who can really encapsulate the emotion of the Knicks more than Mike Breen. And thank you. I just wanted to say that. I want to give Mike Breen his proper credit because he's amazing. And so there you go.
I'm sure he appreciates it.
Mike's an awesome guy. I've met him like three times. He's a very nice guy. We'll come back and get to your calls. 888-808-1019. So, I didn't tell anybody this, but we have a brand new segment that we will begin, I think, over the next few weeks. I think you're going to like this. So, yesterday, me and Sean were at the Nets game, and I made a recommendation. I said, you gotta have the boneless wings. They're very, very good. And so we sit in the upper level of Barclays Center, and he got the boneless wings. It showed a little lack of guts because they give you a choice on sauce. You can go barbecue, you can go mild, or you can go OMG. They actually called it OMG.
Yeah.
And Sean was like,
OMG?
Nah, he went mild.
Oh, you wimp.
Exactly.
Why would I choose a Mets sauce?
Oh my God. That's what you took out of it?
Yeah. I didn't want barbecue, and if I had my pick between the two, I'm done with the Mets stuff with soda.
It had nothing to do with the Mets. It was just OMG, it's hot. Like, whoa, it's medium.
No, they only had those three choices.
Yeah, and by the way,
medium?
I went
medium?
Mild.
No, mild, honey mild? Barbecue, and OMG.
Oh, you don't like honey barbecue.
I wanted like buffalo-y type of taste. And so I wasn't going to pay my money to give to the Mets.
And mild, the Mets. Anyhow, it's fine. Mild was great. But would you agree that those boneless chicken wings were amazing?
As much as I love trying to take a hate on Evan approach, they nailed it. Like, it's a great boneless wing.
So starting...
Better than regular wings with a bone in it?
So, no, I always split the two. There's regular wing talk and there's boneless wing talk. For a boneless wing, I thought that was pretty high on the boneless
wing. Well, I'm glad you took my recommendation, and that is now going to be a new thing. We have 7 wonderful sports facilities here in the New York, New Jersey area.
So you need the best food from each one?
So what we're going to ask the audience to do is recommend the best food at each venue. Okay? We'll listen to a lot of your emails, calls, tweets, and we will decide which one. And then Sean Morash, it has to be him. Sorry, guys, because he's, you know.
Yeah. He's the food expert.
He's the food expert, exactly. We'll go to that venue, sometimes with me, sometimes with Tiki, maybe all of us. Maybe we could all join in. And you're going to try each item from each arena.
I like it.
You like that idea?
I like it. You're not going to share everything else that happened with dinner last night?
Yeah, this was weird.
Evan stole last night.
Evan stole
his dinner last night.
Hold on a second.
Evan stole his dinner last night.
Can I tell the story without you phrasing it that way?
Yeah. Okay, I phrased it that way. Now you tell me whether he stole his dinner.
All right, so we went to get the wings.
Okay.
The boneless wings. I get the wings. I get a bottle of water. I'm also a season ticket holder, so I have a season ticket card that gives me a discount.
Okay.
So I say to the nice lady, I say, hey, look, I don't know if this card works on food. Because I'm still confused if it works on food or just clothes at the team store. So she charges it, goes bing, bing, bing. It doesn't work. She's like, let me get my manager over. Let's figure this out. They come over. They bing it again. And all of a sudden, I look, and it says $3. Like, $3? I got chicken wings and a bottle of water, and I'm very confused. So I wait there, and she's like, okay, you could pay now. And I'm looking down at the number. I'm like, $3? What is going on here? So I had to make a decision. Do I say something, or do I just pay the $3? And then she even repeats, it's $3.24. You're going to play by card? And I'm like, yeah, okay. So I put my card in, and I get it. And now I've got this look on my face, like, what the hell is going on? Sean comes over and says, Evan, and I give you credit for this. Evan, I'm so sorry. I should have paid. I should have paid. you know, you took me to the game. I said, nah, don't worry about it.
No, just, no. He didn't just say nah. He basically grabbed me by the shirt and said, get out of here now. Don't bring up that I should have paid for the food. He was so scared.
Well, I didn't know what to do. What would you do in a spot like that?
Right, because
they're charging me.
You don't have a season ticket card.
I was ready to go back and go, I'm with him. I just paid $41 for a pretzel boneless wing. Yeah,
they clearly made a mistake that they only charged me for the water. Now, the reason I don't feel bad about it is because I give that franchise enough of my money. And, oh, by the way, they sucked all night long. So I'll take my free wings, okay? I got no
guilt
about that.
Promotion because the team was so bad.
Maybe
that they're giving season ticket holders a free dinner.
The Nets still in the league.
Maybe that was it. But I didn't feel bad. It was more I didn't know what to do in the moment. Do I say something, which I have in the past, or do I just leave? What would you have done?
I would have just left.
Thank you. So did I steal, Sean?
Thank you.
I'm not saying you did the wrong thing. I'm just stating a fact that you stole your dinner.
I didn't steal a dinner. They charged me.
We all would have stolen too, Evan. Just admit you stole your dinner.
They charged me $3. I paid the
$3. He didn't steal it. There was a transaction that happened.
There was.
Just because they undercharged him. How much was the bottle of water? $2?
I think the bottle of water
I think that was it.
Yeah. That was it. My Nets bottle of water was $3. But yeah, so I got it for $3. I feel very good about it. But starting probably tomorrow, we're going to pick a venue. I think we got to start with MetLife Stadium because the season is running out. And we will start to take your input on what Sean should eat at MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, but when am I getting to MetLife Stadium to eat that stuff?
Oh, I don't know. Problem. I got that figured out because I was thinking about that. The Giants only have one game left and he doesn't want to go. So I got it all figured out. Me, you, and Jet. We're all going to a game together. Yeah. Jets, Dolphins, week 18.
Here's the problem, Evan. I don't miss Giant games to watch Jet games in person.
No, I got that figured out, too. I'm bringing my iPad. We're going to watch a Giant game on the little screen.
Why don't you box the food up? I'll eat it here Monday. I'll bring the air fryer and I'll remake it.
You seriously want me to do that?
I will bring my air fryer, French fries
Done.
Included.
Done.
Okay.
We will figure out, we're not doing this today, but we will figure this out over the next few days because that's venue number one on the Sean Morash taste test. We do need to name the segment. Do you have an idea? Morash Eats. Morash is fat. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I'm kidding. You're not fat. You've actually lost a lot of weight and you look really good.
Eating Morash.
I like it.
Eating Morash. So yeah. On the first edition of Eating Morash.
Cody Bellinger fits there.
He's going to. Oh, by the way, speaking of Morash, I have a gift for you. You want to come in here?
What do you mean you have a gift for me?
The 7 line, who I think you've been rivals with, they don't like you very much.
Yeah, so what do you mean?
They mailed something to Sean the Hater Morash, courtesy of the Evan and Tiki Show.
Wow, the Hater.
Are you messing with me right now?
I swear to God, what does that say? Does that say the 7 line?
That says the 7
and
line.
What does that say?
Sean the Hater Morash.
The 7 line sent you a... Come on in, let's check it out.
Right, it's U.S. Postal, like... U.S. Postal.
Just to be clear, I don't know what's going on, but you not only stole dinner, now you're doing mail fraud and taking my mail?
Well, I said Evan and Tiki Show, so. Care of the Evan and Tiki Show.
Yes, that's us.
Now, for those that are not aware, the 7 line and Sean have gone at it a lot on social media. I think Sean has made disparaging comments about the 7 line.
He says they all have back acne.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how he would know that, but that's what he said.
He's also made fun of them. Like, what are some of the things he has said about them? They're losers.
They're losers. They're geeky.
They wear fanny packs. They copy the Mets.
Yeah, the Yankees.
All kinds of crap.
Yeah, that's what
So here's a package from the 7 line. Why don't you open it? I have no idea what it is.
Sit here and open it for us.
It is the
7 line. The 7 line sent you a gift.
All right, let's see.
And considering, what'd you just say?
Talking to a mic.
These losers sent me a gift.
First of all, don't say these losers. They sent you a gift. Say thank you.
Yes.
Maybe they have Cody Bellinger Yankee shirts.
It
I was unaware.
It could be something amazing. Is it hard or soft?
I'm not answering that, Tiggy.
Could be both.
The package.
Ask me at midnight.
Is your package hard or soft?
Ask me at midnight. No, it's firm.
I have no idea what's in it, by the way. I just think it's very nice of the 7 line to send that.
It's a relatively small package. I think we should.
I got 20% off Mets furniture.
Okay. What is that?
What the hell is this?
What is that?
Oh my God.
What? I have no idea what it is.
It's a fanny pack.
Oh, it's a fanny pack.
It's a Mets fanny pack. With burgers.
And you mocked him for wearing fanny packs, right?
Oh, now you have to wear that to the Subway Series.
What are you so mad about? No.
Poke that out of
there. He just threw it out. Nah.
He missed, so it did not go into the garbage.
You guys can have it. Thanks,
dude, that's a nice gesture. Say thank you.
Dude. No.
You could wear this to the Subway Series.
Why would I wear a Mets-themed thing to the Subway Series? Like, Soto's not enough? I got to take your stupid bag now, too?
So you get Yankee stickers and you stick them over.
Oh, that's pathetic. No, that's what a Mets fan would do.
Sean.
Making me look pathetic.
Sean.
What?
The 7 Line sent you a gift.
Mm.
Say thank you.
No, you say thank you.
Thank you, 7 Line. I just did it. Now you should say
it. You know what? Tiki, I will take it back.
Don't give it to him now.
No, I will.
You're going to do violence to this
thing. No, because you know what? The pandemic taught me something.
For our SNY audience, so you can see the fan e-pack. Fan NY pack. That's what it says.
It's very cool. The 7 Line has great products.
I'll say this about
I buy tons of crap from them.
I will say this about the fanny pack. If I wanted it, it's good quality. Here's the problem. Pandemic taught me. Toilet paper shortage any second. I don't know what those drones are looking for. I'll use it.
Oh, come on.
Oh, stop.
You're the worst.
How am I the
worst? I'm not going to let you disparage
a
gift from the 7 Line.
You're taking it?
Can you wear that to the Subway Series, Tiki?
It's yours, Tiki. You know what, Tiki? Thanks for giving me the hookup on all the sweets with Mark. You can have the fanny pack.
I'll wear it to the Subway Series.
7 Line, stick it.
No, don't tell me to stick it.
Thank you for your gift, 7 Line.
7 Line, we thank you. That's very classy of you. I know that you guys go at it on Twitter, and sometimes it feels personal.
Two pockets in here, one for my phone, one for all the other stuff.
Tiki likes it.
It's a great clapback from Darren.
It's kind of dope.
I think that's a great, not only clapback, I think it's just a really nice gesture.
Darren, thank you.
Yeah. You know what he did too? Or the 7 Line or Darren or whoever put it in? It included the receipt, so you know how much it costs. Which I think makes Sean feel worse. It was like $35.
What else is in there, Sean? There's other stuff in there as well, correct?
I think it's the receipt, so he can see.
Oh, there's a bumper sticker, a keychain.
Nice. I didn't see that.
Oh.
You know what? I got Lou Gower's Christmas bonus.
Very cool. Classy job by the 7 Line. We appreciate that.
Thank you, 7 Line.
Yeah, very cool. Say thank you into the microphone.
No.
Do it.
No.
Say thank you.
No, I'm not a Mets fan. They know what they're doing.
I'm
going to
make Mark defend you.
Don't do that. Don't you dare do that.
I'm just telling you.
You know what?
Thank you, 7 Line.
Thank you. Okay, good. Wow, that was the pressure you put on him? I'm going to take a friend away from you?
Yes.
You know why you say thank you anyway? And Lugie will remember this. Years ago, do you remember when the Knicks sent me a present?
Yeah.
The Knicks sent a present actually for Jet, and it was an R.J. Barrett jersey. And what I said was, under no circumstances is that coming into my home. But I thanked them. I said, look, I get what you're doing, and I appreciate that.
Trying to influence you to make your kid a Knick fan.
Right. Did not happen. But I still appreciated the gesture, so that's all you have to do. Say thank you to the 7 Line.
What happened to the jersey?
I gave it to Big Mac, who gave it to his son.
Regifting.
Yeah, but what is that? What do they do with it? It's an R.J. Barrett jersey.
Right.
Where's that right now? Let's get to some of your calls. 888-808-1019. Goodbye to SNY. Coming up next is Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. That's coming up next on TV. Let's go to Bill in Shoreham, New York. How are you, Bill?
Guys, thanks for taking the call. Many, many years of Jet fan. I want everybody to calm down and wishing Aaron Rodgers to go away, okay?
Okay.
He's coming around. He's coming off an Achilles. He's got a ground game. His line cannot run the ball.
Right.
Could you imagine if he had an offensive a ground game? And let's not forget what the kicking game did to our season early. What, 4 or 5 games you lost because of the kicking game?
Yeah. No, he hasn't been perfect, but he also hasn't been the only problem.
No, that's the
challenge when you try to evaluate. Because you looked at the stats, and again, stats lie to you all the damn time, so it is what it is. But it hasn't only been Aaron Rodgers. He hasn't been great, but last week, and really the week before as well, he started to look like the Aaron Rodgers that everybody expected. Now, it took too long in the season, so now your opinion and your feeling for him has been altered, and probably it's not recoverable for some people, but he's actually looking better. Just from an independent football observation, he looked as good as I've seen him physically.
He certainly looked a lot better. The determining factor has to be, are the New York Jets better off in 2025 and beyond running it back with a 41, soon to be 42-year-old quarterback?
Yeah.
Is that their best option?
It's hard to say yes to that.
It's very tough.
But the only other argument is, well, what else are you doing?
Yeah.
And that's the challenging part of this.
I think when I sat there last night and I had my come to Jesus moment with Sean, where I started to soften up on the Rodgers case of being more open to bringing him back, I even specifically said to Sean what my plan was, which is if I bring Rodgers back, I'm drafting Carson Beck in the second round. Hmm. And I'm basically saying, you're going to sit here for a year.
Yeah.
You're going to learn from Aaron. And then I'm all queued up and ready to go in 2026 with my future quarterback.
Right. So are you, what about, what's his name? I'm forgetting his name.
Jordan Travis.
What about Jordan Travis?
I think Jordan Travis
just
is here.
Just a project, just in case.
Yeah. And I think if he develops and turns out to be the guy that they're more high on at 2026 time comes around, then great. That's fine. I just don't know how much you could expect from him considering he's coming off a catastrophic injury.
Right. And he's not having good success with recovery.
Right. But that's how I could talk myself into it.